The word works. In the very beginning, when God, standing on nothing, reached out into nowhere and spoke to nothingness, 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, God commanded light to shine out of darkness. 7 or 8 times in Genesis 1, it said, God said, and it was so. The word works. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same as in the beginning with God, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. We see it when Moses got up on the mountaintop. Listen, the word works upward, the word works outward, the word works downward. Look at it as the word works upward. God's about to judge and destroy his people because they've built a golden calf. They got a bull market, and so they get their mind off God because they got a bull market. And what happens? God says, I'm going to wipe them off the face of the earth, destroy them, make of you a great nation, Moses. But Moses got up into the face of God and said, remember your word. Remember your covenant. You said to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, you're taking them into this promised land. Remember your word. What happened? He shot the word upward. And what happened? The word works. Not only works upward, it works outward. Because watch this. Jesus in John 4:32, they said his word was with power. Never a man spake like this man. The word works. Luke 4:36, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commands unclean spirits, and they come out. When he would speak outward, the word works. And in the wilderness, when the devil came up with these 3 terrible temptations of passion and pride and power, and Jesus in every situation drew out of the scabbard of his memory the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6:17, and said to the devil, it is written, the word says. And guess what? Every time he said the word says, the devil got out of there, ran for his life. Why? Because the word works. Upward, it'll touch God. Outward, it'll drive off the enemy. Amen. But the word also works not only upward and outward, it works downward. Now watch this. The centurion's servant is laying home sick of a palsy, dying, and he said, hey, he doesn't have to come over to church tonight. Just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And Jesus said, I've not seen such great faith in all of Israel. And from that selfsame hour, the Bible said his servant was healed. Why? Because the word works. Romans 10:17, read that if you want to tonight. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing. Let me, don't go to the rest of the verse right now. So then faith cometh by hearing, comma, and hearing. Say that again. It comes by hearing and hearing. Let me say it again. It comes by hearing and hearing. Hearing and hearing. Hearing and hearing. So what's happening? You've got to get exposed to the word of God. I've told you before, if you want to catch chicken pox, get what? Exposed to the virus. If you're going to catch a fever, you got to get exposed to fever. If you're going to catch cold, you expose yourself to outside temperatures, and you expose yourself to wetness and water. If you want to get exposed to backbiting church members, you're going to become what? A backbiting gossip. Because whatever you get exposed to is what you're going to become. And so the devil doesn't want you to get exposed to faith people. He doesn't want to get you exposed to the word. He doesn't want to get you exposed to church. Just a little dab will do you. Come on. You can go in Sunday morning, maybe every couple of Sundays, and then take the rest of the time. And if you just get a little bit of the virus, what happens? It inoculates you from the real thing. So if we just get a little bit of Jesus, it'll inoculate us from the real Jesus. If we get just a little bit of the word, it'll inoculate us from the real word. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word works. First of all, faith has the word. Second, faith hears the word. Third, faith heralds the word. Fourth, faith heeds the word. Fifth, faith holds the word. But the first thing you got to understand is that faith has the word. Everybody say, it's mine. The word is mine. Go to Romans 9. Look at verse 4 with me tonight. In the beginning, God gave the word not to everybody. He gave it to Israel. But then the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God. How many? All the promises. 3,000 promises in the word of God. The Bible is a book of premises. It teaches us how to live. A book of promises. It gives us the capacity to joyfully live. Premises and promises. Standing on the promises. I cannot fall. Too many people are just sitting on the premises instead of standing on the promises. You need to get off the premises and get into the promises. But look at this. All the promises of God are in him. Yea and amen to the glory of God by us. 2 Corinthians 1:19 said, for the word that was preached to you by me and Silvanus, or by Paul and Silas, was not to some yea and to some nay. He didn't say it was yea, yea, or nay, nay. As if to say, hey, you can receive the promise, you can't receive the promise. You can receive the promise, you can't receive the promise. If we were confused about who was in on this thing, you can be healed, you can't. You can be healed, you can't. Pretty soon we get to doubt, does this word of God belong to me? But listen to what it says, 2 Peter 1:4. For unto us, who? unto us are given exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so what's he saying? Every one of us have a right to the promises. Now, Romans chapter 9, it said it wasn't that way from the beginning. God had called Israel. And Israel, in chapter 9 and verse 4, he said, who are Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory? How many of you know the glory wasn't our right? The adoption wasn't our right. Salvation wasn't our right. He said, I've come to preach to the lost sheep of the tribe of Israel, for salvation is of the Jews. We didn't have any right in it. Ephesians 2 and 12 says, at that time we were without hope and without God, being strangers from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers or foreigners from the promises of God. Listen, we had no right to the promises. Wouldn't it be terrible if you laid your head down at night and you couldn't claim Psalm 23? You couldn't claim that greater is he that is in me? You couldn't claim that if God be for us, who can be against us? Wouldn't it be a terrible thing to be on the outside of covenant? And that's the way it was for the whole Gentile world. You better be thankful tonight that you've been grafted in and adopted into the true vine, and so that you can stand up and say, hey, everything you promised Abraham goes through Abraham's seed. And his seed is not just Isaac. No, his seed is Jesus Christ, and I'm in Jesus Christ. And what he says to Abraham, he says to Chris, I'm going to claim it. I'm going to climb for it. It's mine. I take it tonight. Hallelujah. We have the word. It says, to whom were the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, which is over all, God blessed forevermore. He said, we have no right to it. It belongs to Israel. But look in verse 6. Not as though the word of God had not taken effect, for they are not all Israel, which are Israel. You don't have to live on the geography of Palestine to inherit the promise. Everything God promised Abraham. Run back to Galatians chapter 3. Let's move fast because we need to cover some bases. I'm still on point one. But look what it says in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3 and verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That we might receive what? The promise. The promise of the Spirit through faith. And then he says down in verse 25. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Listen to this. We are all children of God. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. Listen, ladies, everything that you think, amen, the men got the right to it. The men are the apostles. The men are the preachers. The men are the guys, amen, that can wield the sword of the Spirit and go into battle. No, he said there's no sexual line. There's no racial barrier. There's no domestic barrier. For he said, ye are all what? One in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to what? The promise. Thank God we've got the promise tonight. Number one, faith has the promise. Number two, faith hears the promise. Because it's not enough for you just to have it. Carry your Bible around. That doesn't do a thing for you if you don't assert and exert what it says about you. Because Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2, listen. For the word preached to them, Israel, profited them nothing, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. A whole generation of Israelites died short of the promised land of God, died short of the promises of Scripture, because they had the word, but they didn't heed the word. It's not enough for to have us. We have got to hear it. Faith comes by how? Hearing. Now listen to this. Go to Acts chapter 14. There's an impotent man in the city of Lystra. And in verse 8, look at it. There sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet. Got three strikes against him. Listen to him. Impotent in his feet. Second, what? Being a cripple from his mother's womb. Man, if it's bad enough to be impotent or without potency in your walk, then second, what? A cripple from his mother's womb. But a third thing, who never had walked. Three strikes against him. This is an impossible situation. This guy cannot receive the promise. I mean, people with head colds can get the promise. People that have been through marital splits can get the promise. People that have been through a job loss can get the promise. But when you're in this position where you've never walked, you're going to have to just accept that as your lot in life. I'm never getting out of this mess. I was born this way. I was raised this way. I've always lived this way. And I will die this way. But listen to what happened. Verse 9. The same heard Paul preach. Faith comes how? By hearing and hearing and hearing and He didn't just sit there, folks, for a little 5-minute sermon. All of a sudden, something in his spirit plugged in. A heat-seeking missile just caught hold of the target of what Paul was preaching. And the next thing, something started lighting up on the inside of him. And so then faith cometh. Out of nowhere, all of a sudden, a man from Lystra, who's what? A stranger from Israel, a foreigner of the commonwealth and of the promises of God, has no right, has no Judaic background. And then all of a sudden, faith comes. Paul, beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he what? Leaped and walked. Why? Because he heard the word. Move over a couple of pages now to the 16th chapter. It says in verse 14, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of where? Thyatira, which worshiped God." Listen. Heard us. What happened? Faith came by. Heard us. Listen, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto those things which were spoken by Paul. What happened? Someone who had no prior knowledge of the ways of the things of God, faith came. She heard. Galatians 3 and verse 2, it said, "He that works miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" He that works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Look at Benny Hinn up there, walking around, tears running down his eyes, just waiting on the Lord. We've already been through 3 hours of a 6-hour service, and you're sitting there saying, "Man, this thing's really starting to drag on tonight." When all of a sudden, what happens? There's somebody out there that is suffering from lung cancer. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Brain tumors, just, oh, thank you, Jesus. Somebody's getting out of a wheelchair. He's just listening. He's listening. He's listening. He's listening. He that works the miracles among you, does he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? That's why we need to plug into the Spirit of God, get into the Word of God, until he starts talking to us. When he gives you a word, man, step out on it. When he gives you a word, go ahead and call it out. When he gives you a prophecy, go ahead and speak it. When he says, go knock on that door, go ahead. Faith is coming. God will meet you for the task. Go knock on it. Faith cometh. A little woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. Listen to this statement. When she had heard of Jesus, said within herself, "If I may but touch." When? When she had heard. So faith has. Faith hears. The Holy Spirit brings a word down into your heart. Go to Luke chapter 1. Zacharias is in praying. The whole people are on the outside praying. The angel says, "We'll give you a son." Elizabeth is now pregnant in her old age. And the Lord shows up to a virtuous girl, a valuable girl, a virgin vessel. Who's he going to use? A virgin vessel the world's not in, but separate from the world. A virgin vessel, a virtuous vessel. Amen. Loves God with all of her heart. A valuable vessel. The angel says, "Thou art highly favored among men." And listen to what he says in Luke chapter 1, verse 35. She said, "How shall this thing be? You're going to have a son. The Mighty High is going to fill your womb, and you're going to give birth to the Son of God." She said, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" You remember Zechariah said almost the same statement when Gabriel said to him, "You're going to have a child in your old age." And he said, "Show me how this shall be." And what happened? The angel Gabriel, instead of just patting him on the back, said, "Well, let me explain it all to you." Did what? He struck him dumb. Sitting here talking, saying, "How in the world is this going to happen in my life?" And the next thing, he's moving his lips, but nothing's coming out. Why would God do that? He shut his mouth. Why? So that for the next 9 months, he wouldn't be talking doubt. When you don't see it and the belly is still flat as Elizabeth's was, you start talking, "Well, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think God's going to do it. I don't know if this is possible. I don't know if I'm in the right church. I don't know if this is the right ministry. I don't know if this is the right time. I don't know if God's going to answer me. I don't know if I've got enough faith. I don't know if God cares about me much." So what did he do? He just sealed his lip with polygrip and said, "Shut up." He said, "You're not going to speak for the next 9 months." God said, "I don't want you to negate the word that I'm trying to put in your wife's womb by a bunch of negative naysaying. Come on, just seal it up." And so when he comes to Mary and says, "You're going to have a child," Mary says, "How shall this be?" She wasn't asking it in doubt. She's asking it in anticipation. "Man, show me how it's going to happen." And Lewis says in verse 35, he explains faith's going to come. How's it come? It comes by hearing. Luke chapter 1, verse 35, listen to this. "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Everybody say, "Holy thing." King James Version has got problems at different times. And I don't care what translation you have, there's probably not a translation in this house that quotes the word that should be there. That holy thing. Do you think Jesus is just a thing? That holy thing. The interpreters and translators had a tough time trying to decide, what are we going to write in there? Let me tell you what the Greek word is for thing. It is the word rhema. How many of you heard of Rhema Bible College? How many of you heard of Rhema? What is Rhema? Y'all know what logos is. Logos, in the beginning, was the word, the logos. It is a divine expression or revelation or manifestation of who he was. The logos became flesh. Logos is the generalized entirety of the word of God. A logo is what? A logo is a little symbolic impression that if you look at this, you can see what we are. So he said, the logos. A revelation of who God is. This book is called what? The Word of God or the Logos. Now, there is another word for word in the Bible. It's not Logos. It is Rhema, which means a word drawn from the Word. Or in other words, you're reading right along through the Logos, and all of a sudden faith comes by hearing, and bam, a Rhema explodes. That's why Sue Rydell's publishing company that we got our book through is called Logos to Rhema Publishing. Why? Because she wants to move us out of just the generality of the Logos expression into a direct, impressive word from God. The power of the highest will overshadow you. The Holy Ghost will come upon you. And that holy thing or that holy Rhema which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Listen to this. God says, I'm going to put a word inside of you. I used to hear old preachers, Norton, Coffin, Buck, and preach and say that the Holy Ghost had relationship with Mary. No, that's not what happened. The divine seed that passed into that womb was nothing but God's voice. It was a word. The Holy Ghost came, and what happened? Faith cometh. And the next thing you know, down inside of her, she had what? She had what? A rhema. If you could ever get in touch with God until he puts a rhema in your womb. I got a word in me. I got a word. God gave me a vision. God gave me his mind. God spoke to me. There's something down in my heart. But I don't know if God can do this. Well, he said, if you don't know God can do it, then watch this. He said, come over to Elizabeth's house. And she leaves the high country, goes down to Elizabeth, and said, it is the 6th month. Why did Elizabeth hide herself for 6 months? Why did he shut Zacharias' mouth and then hide Elizabeth for 6 months? Because by the time 6 months comes around, isn't anybody going to talk you out of your miracle? It is visible. He took her over to, stand up, Pastor, and took her over to Elizabeth's. And God says, I want that dream in your life, that destiny in your life, that word that I put in you. How many of you know he put a word in our heart a couple of years ago? And that thing has been tested. It's been tried. It had been better off for most of us if God would have sealed our mouths until the victory came. But what did he do? We've talked this thing down. We've talked it up. We've had good times, bad times, victory. And then we've had discouragement. And he says, you want to know that I can do it for your church? Let me take you over to this church. Watch this. The moment that faith got in contact with faith, the moment that word got in contact with word, when dream got with dream, when vision got with vision, it started leaping on the inside. And John the Baptist did a Jericho march in his mother's womb, and the next thing both of them are doing, whoa, do you feel it kicking? Hallelujah. Felt that. The problem with most people has been so long since they felt it, it has died. They've aborted the dream. So faith has the word, faith hears the word, and when it comes in, you need to make that thing grow and make that thing kick and keep that thing by doing what? Hanging out with people who got similar dreams. Hallelujah. You feel that? Kicking again. See, it's been so long since it's kicked for some of you. The big problem is when you start fearing, I don't know if it's even alive. Go back and get a heart checkup. Go get the test. Put it on the sonogram. Get an echo. Go ahead. It's still in there. The dream's still there. The drive's still there. Don't give up on it. The word hasn't died. You'll die before the word dies. He never gives up. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Let me say what I just said. The word is what? Settled in heaven. You haven't birthed it yet. You haven't pushed yet. You haven't got that word out yet, but God said it's settled in heaven. So, look what happens here. Verse 35, we've got a rhema inside of her. Now look at verse 36. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived. And verse 37... Now listen to this statement. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. I've taught you already what this preposition with a bold proposition with is. It didn't say for to God all things are possible. To God nothing is impossible. Of God nothing is possible. In God nothing is possible. But he uses a specific word with, which means what? With God. What's with? What is with? For with God nothing shall be impossible. Now what's that mean? That to God I know nothing's impossible. But with God, if I can get in step with the rhema that he's put in, if I can get in step with the word, if I can get in step with the dream, with God nothing shall be impossible. But here's the thing I want you to look at. The word nothing, no thing, in King James, he uses that word thing again. Now listen, with God, here's the Greek word, no rhema shall be impossible. So what do we got now? If I put a rhema in your spirit, with God, no rhema is impossible. No word is impossible. No dream and drive that God put in a man's spirit shall be impossible. Now look at the next verse. Well, Mary said, then behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy King James word. But guess what the Greek is? Rhema. Now watch this. I put a rhema inside of you, and with God no rhema is impossible. And she turns around and says, then be it to me according to your rhema. Give him a hand clap if you think he can do that in your life. So faith has, second faith hears, but third faith heralds. Now, you've got to start speaking it. You've got to start heralding this thing. I'm going to have a baby. I'm going to have a baby. I'm going to have a baby. The big problem with so many people is you got to go to the sonogram. You got to go with other people so that thing starts kicking again. But you can wait too long. You can put things off, not dare to dream and believe God. And the worst thing you can do with your dream is when you turn it around, breach, pull out the legs, take out the scissors, reach in. Come on, here it is. Now, the scissors right into the back of the skull of your dream and drain every rhema out. Partial birth abortion is the worst kind of abortion that you can do to your dream. And I've come to tell you tonight, you are right at birthing stage. The canal is open. You're already dilated. Don't give up on God. The dream's here. So I got to do what? I have that. I hear that. Now I herald that. I got to start telling it. Come on. Across America, around the world, and up to heaven. Across America, around the world, and up to heaven. And you start doing what? You herald your faith. Praise God. Psalm 68, verse 11. God gave the word. Great was the company of them that published it. Joshua 1 and 8. This book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth. Amen. Romans 10 and verse 7. He said, the word of faith which we preach, which is in your mouth and in your heart. Jeremiah 1 and verse 12. God said, I am watching over my word to perform it. I'm watching over my word. How many know when a little baby, that dream is inside, that rhema is on the inside? I know you got to use special precautions. You need to get more vitamins. You need to take care of yourself. You need your rest. You need your exercise. But how many of you know the basic development of that word, that baby, is what? That's God's business. And so what's he saying? I will hasten my word to perform it, Jeremiah 1 and verse 12, or in the Amplified, I am alive and active, watching over my word to perform it. I'm watching over the word. Come on, I'm going to make sure it kicks. I'm going to make sure it's got all the oxygen it needs. This thing isn't going to die. So do what? Start heralding that word. Return it to him. Isaiah 55 and 11, my word which goeth forth out of my mouth shall not what? Return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. It shall not return to me void. What's that mean? What's return mean? My word that goes forth out of my mouth. Is God speaking out of his mouth? No. God's done what? He gave us his word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed into it. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He gave us the pages of this book. And now he says, my word which goes forth out of my mouth. So what would his mouth be? We say it again. Father, your word says, what happened? It just returned to him. And you know what he said? My word which goeth forth out of my mouth shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Thank God you send the word back up to him. He's going to hear it. He's going to respond to it. He's going to activate it in your life. Angels respond. Listen to this. The moment that Mary said, be it to me according to thy rhema. What's the next statement? Immediately, Gabriel did what? Shot back to heaven. Go to Psalm 103. I'm going to explain that. Psalm 103 in verse 20. She had the word. I mean, she was a Bible believer. But then she heard the word. The Holy Ghost came on her. And what happened? It put the word in her. She's got a rhema inside of her. She has the word. She hears the word. Now she heralds the word. Runs over, hallelujah, and says, Elizabeth, did you hear about me? Well, Mary, did you hear about me? And this response one to another, face to face, occurs. And she says, with God, nothing's impossible. Now, be it to me according to thy rhema. And watch what happens. The moment she does that, immediately, Gabriel left her, departed. What's that mean? Gabriel was standing at her side waiting for the second that she said, go with the word. How many times have we had angels just hung around. Come on, say it. And we sit with our mouths sealed, afraid to say what God says. Whatever the word says about you, herald it. Angels stand there the whole time saying, I wish you'd own up to the fact that you're healed if you just say it. I wish you'd own up to the fact that you truly are saved. And you own up to the fact that the Bible promises you deliverance, promises you healing, promises you every stronghold broken in your life, promises your family to get saved. You sit there and you pray the same words over and over and over and over, and you never include my word. If you just say what God says about it, bang, I'd go right back, and it would not return to me void. Bang, the angel goes, says, we got 9 months to get ready. Come on, get the choir out. We're going to practice because within 9 months, we're going to be back in the hillsides of Judea. And then, bam, 9 months later, what happened? The panoramic view of the heavenlies, a midnight gloom, turned to midday glory as the sound of a heavenly host crying on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. And the next thing you heard out of the hillside was the cry of a little rhema that had just become flesh. We're going to do Psalm 103, verse 20. It says, bless the Lord, O ye his hosts, or angels, that excel in strength. Listen, hearkening to the what? The voice of his word. Or literally, Moffat translation, according to his spoken word. When you speak the word of God, bam, Gabriel shoots right back to heaven. And you're Gabriel that's standing around you tonight saying, come on, give me the word. You say what God says and bam, they go into action. That's how you arm your angels for attack. Faith has, faith hears, faith heralds, faith heeds. Now, you got to step out in faith, folks. If I've got this baby in me and this thing's growing, I got to start preparation. Abraham counted him faithful who had promised. Romans chapter 4, go there with me. Faith has, faith hears, faith heralds. Now faith heeds. The fourth chapter, he said, God calls those things that are not as though they were. Verse 17, that's God heralding something. Verse 18 of Abraham, it says, who against hope believed in hope. Faith has nothing to do with hope. Hope hooks the chain onto the tow truck way off in the distance. But faith hooks the chain onto the stalled car right here, right now. And so I'm not worried about out there. Now faith is. Now watch this. Against hope, he believed in hope that he might be called the father of many nations according to that which is written, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, listen to this. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. God just all of a sudden beautified this woman. She's 90 years old. I read it night before last. Said, make sure, Sarah, that you tell everybody you're my sister instead of my wife, because they'll kill me for you. Now, you got to be a pretty attractive 90-year-old lady before somebody's going to kill for you. She's 90. My God, kill that guy. I'm bringing her into my harem. Not too many 90-year-olds folks that got that kind of a glimmer. But there was something about people that had heard, people that had heralded, now people that are heeding. And guess what? God just miraculously beautified her with something that was so glorious that two different Palestinian kings said, man, I've never seen anything like that in my life. Bring her into my harem. Abraham was in the wrong, but she's 90 years old, considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100. Sarah is 90 years old, past the time of childbearing. The angel says, I'm going to give you seed. What happens? She laughs. They said, I heard you laugh. She said, I didn't laugh. When God's about to give you your rhema, it ain't going to happen at my age. It ain't going to happen with my background. I heard her laugh. I didn't laugh. Finally, she owned up to it. She said, we're going to name this kid Laughter because God hath made me laugh again. How long has it been since you've loved? How long has it been since you lived? How long has it been since you laughed? And God's wanting to put a brand new rhema inside your heart. Now watch what it says here. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also therefore to perform. So what happened? I have the word. I heard the word. I've heralded the word. Now I'm going to heed the word. If God says I'm going to have a son, then I'm going to have a son. I'm not going through Hagar. I'm not going through Eliezer of Damascus. I'm not taking any training course. I don't need any Viagra pills. If God said it's going to happen, He'll give me the ability to make it happen. Send me a rhema. And one glorious night, bam, a rhema comes. Faith cometh. And he heeded the word. What'd he do? He started preparations. Get me a little room added onto the tent. Come on, get a bigger tent. Let's get us a crib. Let's paint the inside of the tent, one side of it kind of baby blue. Get some soft blankets, amen, to put on the floor. Let's go to Walmart. Walk up and down Walmart, got Pampers and Huggies. Had a couple of showers for the 90-year-old. Could you imagine that? Let's put it up on the screen next Sunday night after church. Sarah's getting her baby shower. A lot of people just feeling sorry for her because she's gone bananas, because there is that certain place where old timers and Alzheimer's takes over and you might as well go along with the party. I mean, it's funny. She's 90 years old. I know she's got a nice complexion and she doesn't have to use any cosmetics and she looks real good, but I don't think she's thanking everybody, signing cards, sending them back. We're so excited. Me and Abraham never been more happy in our lives. He's pushing the cart around Walmart. People are laughing and hee-hawed. The old guy is 100 years old. So senility is set in. Boy, what happens? You want your miracle? No matter how impossible, against hope, believe in hope. Herald what God says. Heed what God says and start your baby room because you're going to hear the cry. The word works. I said the word works. Amen. Faith has, faith hears, faith heralds, faith heeds, and faith holds. Let's close. Faith holds. Faith holds on. Titus 1 and verse 9. Hold fast the faithful word. Hold fast the faithful word. Do you know, folks, that rhema inside of you is faithful. God is faithful. He said, God is faithful who hath not suffered you to be tempted above that you're able. He said, if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, God is faithful who also will do it. 1 Corinthians 1 and 9, God is faithful who hath called you unto the fellowship of his Son. And so all the way through, he said, if we deny him, he abideth faithful. His name is what? Faithful and true. He said, in faithfulness, he doth judge and make war. God is what? Faithful. It's a faithful word. The grass outside turns brown in August. He said, the flower of the field fades away. He said, the grass withereth. Then he said, all flesh is grass. What's that mean? Man comes, man goes. Adam lives, Adam dies. Kingdoms are erected, then erased. But he said, the word of God abides forever. He said, it's a faithful word. You can count on it. Listen, Psalm 138, verse 2, you've got to hear this. He said, you have magnified your word above all your name. Listen to this. Your word is magnified above your name. Listen to his name. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. One of the most important commandments God ever gave. He said, I value my name. Hallowed be thy name. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. What's he saying? The name. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's salvation in that name. Listen, folks, that name is glorious. That name is mighty. Now listen to the scripture again. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. You think God's going to let his name be dragged through the mud? You think God's going to deny his name? He said, my word is above my name. You're going to bank on my name? You can bank on my word. The word works. You're going to hallow my name. You might as well hallow my word because the word works. Psalm 105, look what it says in verse 17. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in the iron. What happened, folks? Potiphar's house, prison house. There's several things. He could have resentment. He could have attacks and accusations against him, criticism, everything that was laid against him. When the rhema gets inside of you, what happens? Then all hell tries to dissuade you away from it. Now stay there. I'm going to read the next verse because this is what I want to look at. The whole world tries to do what? Number one, I can get him so bitter that he'll never be able to live out his dream. So what happens? Used his brothers and turned the whole church against him. Is that right? Threw him in a pit. What happened? All 11 of his brothers turned on him. So what's he do? He uses the entire church against you to try to get you defeated. How many of you ever had a whole church against you? It's one thing to have pastor against you or a couple of people. How many of you ever had the entire church against you? You're really in the thick of a destiny. Sometimes that'll happen. I'm going to kill that rhema. I'm going to kill that word. I'm going to kill that dream. I'll turn the entire body of Christ against you. There won't be anybody in the whole church that believes in you anymore. I'm going to knock the props out from you. You ain't going to make this one. But what happened? He didn't let injury stop him. So the devil says, I can't get him that way. Watch this. She puts on the lipstick. She unzips just a little bit of cleavage. Come lie with me. Potiphar's wife. What'd he do? Rather than lose his conscience, he lost his coat, jumped out the window and said, you're not going to kill the rhema in my heart. So if the devil can't get you with gossip, he'll try to get you with girls, he'll try to get you with glory, he'll try to get you with gold. And now he's in prison, and here's the thing that really could have snuffed it out. The baker's going to talk to Pharaoh tomorrow. Remember me when you talk to Pharaoh. I've helped you, I've blessed you, I've touched you. Remember me. Don't forget I'm in prison. Get me out of here. And guess what? This is what the Bible said. The baker forgot him. Now, when you've been insulted, assaulted, the whole church is against you, the lust of the flesh has tried to rip you away from God, and now you've been forgotten by everybody, and there is total cold silence between you and heaven. Are you still going to believe God? Are you still going to hold the word?